go. All righty. Let's do that again. Good morning and greetings from Risen Christ Fellowship in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It is a joy and a privilege to be with you all here today. And I want to thank you for the very, very warm welcome that you have already given to us. It's such a blessing. I don't get away to preach much. Brian and Shy are the ones who are traveling the country and the world to do that. Brian right now is in Australia, believe it or not. He's in Australia, and he's preaching to some churches and in some conferences down there and helping the church in that area. So you can be praying for him, if I can ask for just a couple requests. Be praying for Brian as he's there with his son, Spurgeon. And would you be praying for their safety and that God would use them in a mighty way there to help the church in Australia? If you could also be praying for us as a church, we have been for the last year and a half or even longer than that pursuing to be in a more urban area. We are in the city, but it's more it's less of an urban area, and so we had been praying to be in an urban area. We've looked at every building we could look at, and then we finally found a smaller place, maybe the main room a little bit bigger than this room here. And so we got about 98% of the construction done, and we're looking to move in there on the 26th. So if you could be praying for that, and praying even more than that, praying that that God would be magnified, and that the church would be faithful and make disciples, and that God would keep us from the evil one. So you'd be praying for us in that area as we minister there. We're super excited and looking forward to what God is going to do there. So in connection with your series on discipleship and our series on discipleship, today we are going to look at maturity in discipleship from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 16, and the focus will be on verses 11 to 16. But if you would turn there in your Bibles, we could read, begin in the word and prayer. Now, as you well know, the whole first three chapters of the book of Ephesians focus on the gospel, right? Paul lays a foundation of the gospel and how God is choosing out a new humanity for his name, and how we were once dead in our trespasses and sins, and God by his grace saved us, made us alive with Christ, raised us up with him, and seated us in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, right? And then now he says, walk worthy, right, of the gospel. Walk worthy of the calling by which you have been called. And so this chapter 4 begins now the instruction of, this is our response to the gospel. This is our response to the gospel. And so Paul says in verse 7, he says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all maintain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you for your grace that you have lavished on us in him. We thank you that you withheld no spiritual blessing from us, but blessed us with them all in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We who now believe the gospel were once dead in our sins. We were without you. We were without Christ. We were without hope. And under your wrath, which we fully deserved. But you, in your great mercy, with which you loved us, you saved us. By grace we are saved. You made us alive with Christ. You raised us up with him and have seated us with him in the heavenly places in him. It's all done in him. You have done your work of salvation in and through him. We praise you for your great mercy. And now we pray that you would help us to understand that you want a mature church and that the Holy Spirit is working in us for that very goal. Help us to grasp your love for us and your Son, our Lord, and help us to in every way press on to maturity, not only individually, not only as individuals, but as a church. Help us to have the goal of whole church maturity, seeking each other's growth and maturity in Christ. Grant us ears to hear, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you troubled when you see grown-ups acting as children? When you see adults sucking their thumbs? Or having a temper tantrum and throwing their bodies down when they don't get their own way? Or spitting their food out on the floor? I mean, wouldn't that be appalling? Well, are you equally troubled when you see people who have been Christians for a while who are still infants in the Lord? Who have little or no spiritual affections? Who are not moved to obedience by God's great love in the gospel? Who seldom may read God's word? Who don't gather regularly with the saints? Who don't live in community with other Christians, who are easily carried away from the truth, who are not concerned about the spiritual good of other brothers and sisters in their own congregation, and who show little or no concern for the unity of the body, for the maturity of the church. Now, whether the lack of maturity in discipleship troubles you or not, it certainly concerns our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for us all, that he might present us to himself a mature church, holy and without blemish. And so in Ephesians 4 and verse 13, Paul uses four phrases to show us that Christ's goal for his body, that is, for Christian testimony church, and for every true church, is spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity in every way. Christ-likeness in every way, in every area of our life. He speaks of reaching to, of attaining to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God and to mature manhood to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now notice that all four phrases serve to highlight the goal of church-wide or whole church maturity in discipleship, not simply individual maturity. And certainly God is concerned with both, and you certainly can't have church-wide maturity without individual maturity. But it is the maturity of the church, not simply of the individual believer, which is God's concern here. The unity of the faith speaks of the oneness or harmony that God is producing through the gospel in the body of Christ as the church grows up in every way in Christ. It is a unity of the faith. It is a unity of doctrine and the love that is in Christ Jesus. It is the unity of the faith that has come at a great price, at the death of God's Son. And unity in the faith is so important to maintain because only in unity is God glorified and the church built up. A church that is not unified in the faith will not be built up to Christ-like maturity. The second phrase, and the knowledge of the Son of God, is to be taken with the unity of the faith. The knowledge of the Son of God refers to a comprehensive understanding of the person, the teaching, and the work of Jesus Christ, and of all God's saving purposes in Him. And then the third phrase, to a mature manhood, speaks of the church body as a whole. Notice it's the church body as a whole. You're going to hear me stress that over and over again so that you walk away with this truth today. It speaks of the church body as a whole, as a mature adult, in contrast to being an infant. Not only individuals as infants, but the church as infants. And again, take note that the emphasis is of whole church maturity, not simply individuals. And the fourth phrase, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, reveals to us complete maturity is Christ-likeness in every way. That's what the Lord is looking for. That's what God is at work in us, both willing and working to do. And so the maturity of Christian testimony church in every church that is a gospel church is not measured against its likeness to other churches, but its likeness to Christ in every way. How is Christian testimony church doing? Is it growing in likeness to Christ in every way? And so Christ's goal, what He is doing in the church, is both willing and working in us to nourish us up and move us toward church-wide maturity and discipleship. And so we need to strive for the same. We need to strive for the maturity of the church. Now, how does this church-wide maturity and discipleship happen for Christian Testimony Church and for every church in Christ? Well, there are three necessary means. Three necessary means. One, by being equipped. Two, by doing ministry. And third, by growing up in every way. And so let us take some time now to unpack those three points. Christian Testimony Church will be pressing on to maturity, first of all, by each and every saint being equipped. By each and every saint being equipped. Now, suppose for a minute you are starting out in a new job. Anybody start a new job recently? Anybody? How about in the last year? Start a new job in the last year? Okay. 2 years? Okay. So, I remember throughout my lifetime, I would be starting off in a new job, and I felt like a novice, obviously, in every time I started a new job. But suppose for a minute that you are starting out in a new job, a job you have no experience in, you have no prior training for, and a job that requires you to be skillful, and you just have no experience in that line of work. And so your employer doesn't just throw you into a task without training. That's not normally what happens, right? Okay, you just, here, go ahead and do this very technical thing or whatever it may be that requires training, and just says, go ahead and do it. Employer, if he wants his company to prosper, he's not going to do that. So what's going to happen? No, you need training. You need to be what? Equipped, right? You need to be equipped, or else you will not be able to do your job. Your employer brings you through vigorous training for the benefit of the company, right? And Lord willing, you will benefit the company, right? It was the case with me. I had at one time had left. I was in a ministry years ago, and the Lord had seen fit to call me out of that for a period of time in my life, and I went back and I had to learn all about water, and I had to learn about building systems that purify water, because I was the guy that had to actually build the systems. So I didn't have to know everything about everything, but I did have to have a very general knowledge and had to be skilled in that area. So I went through training, and they trained me, and I had to read books, and they trained me on the job, and I had to go through that. And it took time. And so it's not much different when it comes to our discipleship in life in the body of Christ. God saves us. We have new life in Christ. And God makes us a part of his family, the church, which he desires now to grow up and fully mature. He desires the church to grow up and fully mature. But our life in Christ is new life, right? We're born again, and we're born again, and it's a new life in Christ. And so it's a new way of life, a way of life for which we need to be fully equipped. And while we are forgiven our sins, and while we have the Holy Spirit as our teacher, as our guide, and as our power and empowerer, we still need to be equipped. Not simply for our own individual benefit, but for the benefit of the church. And so, you see, as verse 16 teaches, when each part, each joint is working properly, that is, when each person in the church is becoming equipped and is utilizing their gifts and speaking the truth in love and utilizing their energies in the body of Christ, that's how the body is built up. Now, how does this equipping happen? Well, look at what Scripture says in verses 11 to 12. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Two things need to be emphasized. These are people gifts. These are people gifts. And they're people gifts that Christ has given to the church from his grace. They spring from his grace. None of them, no apostle and no prophet and no evangelist or no pastor or teacher has ever decided on their own to be such. Well, I decide what I'm going to be like. I'm going to be a pastor. No. Paul the apostle didn't decide to be an apostle. Christ chose him to be an apostle. And pastors, the pastor and pastors and teacher, or pastor teacher, he doesn't decide that. God decides that for him. Now, he recognizes God's call upon his life, right? And he strives, he reaches out for the work of oversight, as 1 Timothy 3 tells us. And that's how we know. That's one of the ways we know that man is called into the pastorate. And so, being a pastor and teacher is ultimately God's choice. It's not mine or yours or anyone else's. It's not even the church's choice. And the second thing emphasized is what is common to all these gifted people is their giftedness specifically is in what? Word ministry. Do you see that running all the way through? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What's common to all of them? The Word of God, the gospel, the preaching of the Word of God, the establishment of what? New Testament churches, right? That's common. throughout all of these word, these people mentioned here. And so giftedness specifically in word ministry in the proclamation and teaching of the word of God, of the proclaiming the gospel. And so in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, we see that the church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The teaching that they had received from whom? Everyone? From Christ, right? And so apostles are those chosen by Christ or by the group of apostles together, as in the case of Matthias. They personally witnessed the resurrected Christ, received the revelation of the gospel from Christ, and were sent out with the authority of Christ, proclaiming the truth of the gospel, establishing churches, and then guiding, instructing, admonishing, rebuking, and correcting the churches through what? The word of truth, the word of God, right? And so they were God's authoritative representatives. Now, prophets speak to God's people for their encouragement, for their upbuilding in the faith, and for their comfort. That's what the scripture lays out. And they sometimes foretell the future. And so, evangelists bring the gospel to people and places that have not heard the gospel. And they're similar to our modern-day missionaries that might go to a place where the gospel has not been preached. And that would be a close equivalent to perhaps to an evangelist. And then pastors and teachers, it appears that there's questions whether it's two groups or one group, and it appears to be one group, pastors and teachers, just one group there. But again, we're not going to split hairs here. The character their ability to teach and their desire to oversee the spiritual care of God's flock are main elements of their calling to the pastorate. Now, what does it mean for pastors and teachers to equip the saints? Well, the word equipped refers to the adequate, sufficient training of someone for something. Let me say it again. The word equipped refers to the adequate, sufficient training of someone for something. Did you catch that? The adequate, not just training, the adequate, sufficient training. Sufficient training. And so this is the only place this word is used in the New Testament. The only place. While this word equip is a noun, the verb form of it is used in Matthew 4:21 with the same sense of mending nets. Mending nets, kind of repairing and mending nets. And the verb form is used also in Hebrews 13:21 in a prayer for God to what? Equip or outfit his people so that they are fit, able, and prepared for every good work. Which is another way of speaking of ministry, is it not? And so, the same idea is communicated in 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 with the words complete and equipped. Although the word equipped there is not the same word as used in Mark or Hebrews, it is similar and meaning, if not virtually synonymous. And so 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. You see it? Complete. Equipped for every good work. Now, complete and equipped both speak of being well-fitted and furnished for the same function. For some function. And that function has to do with word ministry to God's people. And so we see that 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 is key for understanding pastors and teachers equipping the saints. God's word fully equips the pastors for every good work. It trains them up. It makes them complete and equipped for every good work. So that must be the same for the saints, right? Do you agree? You see that? And see, and so in turn, pastors equip the saints for the work of ministry through the Word of God. Through the means of the Word, pastors teach, reprove, correct, and train the saints in righteousness. They speak the truth in love. And through it, the saints become equipped for every good work. And this equipping is done through the corporate preaching and teaching ministry of the church, as well as through individual instruction, counseling, and the like. As Pastor Dan and teaches and preaches, and as your pastors teach and preach, and as they sit with you and they correct you and they counsel you and they admonish you or they may rebuke you or they may just encourage you in the Word. We're using the Word. We use the gospel to encourage and teach. You see? It's through that. And then what happens? You become built up. And so it happens through the preaching and teaching ministry of the church, as well as through individual instruction and counseling and the like. And so this all happens in the context of intentional loving relationships, seeking to do one another spiritual good. That's one of the expectations. When somebody comes into our church, that is one of the expectations that we have, is that we expect, and we say to them, there are six expectations, and one of them is, we expect that you're going to seek to do each other spiritual good in the church as you become a member. And so, this all happens in the context of loving our relationships, of seeking to do one another spiritual good, and it is done through pastors shepherding God's sheep, that is, through pastors knowing, loving, teaching, leading, feeding, and protecting God's people in accordance with the Scriptures. The phrase, the pastor and teacher are gifts to God's church. And for the church to be maturing, the pastors of every church, they must invest themselves in the work of shepherding and equipping. As 2 Timothy 2:15 directs, they must labor in the Word to cut it straight, to interpret rightly and apply it correctly, so that the saints, Christ's body, are built up in the faith. That is Christ's purpose for pastors and His goal for the church. And so you see, pastors and teachers teach and preach and speak the Word of God and apply it to our lives. And the Word of truth, the message of God's Word, the message of God's salvation in Christ, of His Lordship, and of all Christ's teaching, is the very means that God uses not only to save us, but to transform us and mature us up in Christ. And you see, God's plan is not simply to save us and then just sit around and just glory in our salvation. We should glory in our salvation, but that's not all we do. We're to be maturing in the faith, in the grace and knowledge of Christ, so that what? God is glorified in us and through us. Amen? He saved us to become equipped for the work of ministry so that we then speak the truth in love and utilize our gifts for the building up of the church. So for the church to be maturing, the pastors of every church must invest themselves in the work of shepherding and equipping God's people. And now the question is, what can I do as a member of the church to help the pastoral leadership in their work of equipping the saints? Well, there are a number of things, but let me give you four things real quick. Four things. Pray for your pastor, your pastors, okay? Pray for your pastors. Pray for him. Pray for your pastors. Pray that God works in their life. Pray for their family. Pray that they would have strength. Pray that God would grow them up, that God would mature them. Pray for their protection. Pray that God would keep them from the evil one. Pray for everything you can think of that you can pray for your pastor, for your pastors. Secondly, crave the milk of the Word that you may grow in respect to salvation. 1 Peter 2, 1 and following, right? And read it much. Give yourself to the regular reading of God's Word. Are you reading God's Word regularly? Are you craving the milk of the word? Are you meditating on it? Meditate on it and consider its application to your life. Third, and then memorize it. There are a number of groups in our church. People that get together and they get together to pray for the church, pray for each individual member, and they get and memorize a book of the Bible. That's common. That's very common. And so there's some that are memorizing Colossians, and there is a brother in the Lord that has just been kind of like a catalyst to me. He is on his way. He's got two chapters of James memorized, and he's 69 years old. And he just did it in the last few months. And you say, well, he must have a photographic memory. He does not. He does not. And so, third, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but gather faithfully to hear the word so that you can be taught, so that you can be equipped, right? And worship the Lord and become equipped, and so that you become equipped and build up your brothers and sisters in Christ. And you're looking to speak into each other's lives. And then a fourth, to obey and to submit to God's word and to your pastors, as Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7 and 17 direct us to do. Make their shepherding and equipping of you a joy, for that is profitable for you and for the whole church, and it glorifies God. So Christian Testimony Church will be reaching maturity, first of all, by the saints being equipped, and second, by the saints doing ministry. Now, would you find it odd if another believer were to ask you, how's your ministry going? Is there something unbiblical about that question? Well, not at all, is it? You see, in fact, it probably should be a question we should kindly and concerningly ask each other more often, because we're all in the ministry. It's not just Pastor Dan that's in the ministry. It's all of us are in the ministry. The moment God saved you, he put you into the ministry. And so, in our wider Christian culture, we have relegated the ministry to certain pastors or professionals and have minimized and trivialized the ministry of every church member. And all to the detriment of local churches across America and throughout the world. We're all in the ministry. We're all ministers of the gospel. We're all ambassadors of Christ. Are we not? And it has resulted in all kinds of problems: non-involvement in local church ministry, non-commitment to the local church, kind of roaming about, going here and going there, apathy, complacency, and especially the lack of concern for being a member of a church and contributing to the edifying and maturity of the church. Now look at verse 12. God's word ministers are to equip the saints for the work of ministry. We are to be equipped for the work of ministry. Can you say this together with me? We are to be equipped for the work of ministry. Ready? We are to be equipped for the work of ministry. Thank you. Now it says saints. Are you a saint? You're a saint if you have been saved. If you have been forgiven your sins, you're a saint. Not because you're perfect, and because you're not. Because that's what God has called you. He set you apart. You're a saint. You're a holy one. He's designated you a holy one. And he set you apart for himself, for his holy purposes. And so, it says, saints, all saints, each and every saint is equipped for the work of ministry, for the building up of the church. Are you a member of Christian Testimony Church or of a church that preaches the gospel like this church? That includes it, that each and every person includes you and me. Are you a member of a church doing the work of ministry in that church? We should be. God's word says so. In fact, remember verse 16, the church is built up and grows up as every joint, each part is working properly as it should, as God ordained. That joint is members, are the members of the church, each individual member. It's you and me. And so that's you and me working, doing ministry as members in a gospel-preaching church, a Christ-centered church. The work of ministry is a responsibility of all saints. And now notice also that ministry is work. I know that doesn't, some people don't like that word. But ministry is work, right? It's work. And so work is a task. And as with any work or task, labor is expended and time is spent in it. And the specific task in which we are to invest our time and energy in is ministry. But in order to do ministry, we need to know precisely what ministry is. Ministry is service. It is performance of a service. Very simply, it is performance of a service. Illustration. Companies often advertise the services they offer, right? A realtor offers the service of what? A home finding and home buying. A carpenter offers the service of something associated with carpentry, right? Perhaps a cabinet making or something else, or building an addition or whatever else it may be. A music teacher offers their service somewhere in the area of teaching music. And a health inspector offers the service of inspecting our facility. And possibly shutting us down. We have a health inspector in our church. A Christian soul task is described as ministry. It's described as service, our whole task. So what is this ministry that a Christian is to be given to? Well, it is service done by the saints, by the members of the church, for the benefit of the church. That is, for the building up of the church, for the church's encouragement in the faith, which leads to the church's maturity in the faith, which it then glorifies God. And pastors equip the saints so that the saints are equipped to do the work of ministry, so that both pastors and saints effectively accomplish their responsibilities and the church is built up. That is how a church becomes mature. That is how Christian Testimony Church becomes mature. That is how Risen Christ Fellowship becomes mature. That is how every individual church becomes mature. Rooted, grounded, and built up in the faith. And so, now we still haven't identified exactly what ministry is, only that it is service for the benefit of and upbuilding of the church. So what is ministry? Ministry has to do with the employment of our God-given gifts for the benefit of the church. And we are all to speak the truth in love. Always gospel ministry, every person doing, speaking the truth in love, speaking the gospel to each other and to each other's situations in life, and exercising our gifts. Each one of us, going back to chapter verse 7, each one of us has been given a gift. And it says that over and over again in Romans 12 and 1 Peter 4, right? We've all been given gifts, and we've been given gifts so that we utilize these gifts for the benefit of the church. And so, you see, it is not simply employing our gifts, but we are all to speak the truth in love, as verse 15 tells us. And the word for speaking the truth is literally truthing. It's the word truthing. You say, what's truthing? It's used another time in Galatians 4:15 in that context. It's really a synonym of speaking the gospel. And so, it's yes, we speak the truth, we tell each other truthful things, but it's just more than telling each other truthful things. It's telling each other truthful things, but focused on the truth of the gospel, you see. We're applying the gospel to each other's lives. And we're doing that in a loving way, in a kind way, in a way that's considering ourselves first. And so, concerning the gifts, Christ has given each one of us gifts to use for the encouragement of the church, as he mentioned. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 6, where gifts, services, or ministries and activities are all virtual synonyms that speak about ministry for the benefit of the body of Christ. And these gifts, services, activities are what the Spirit has made known for the benefit and advantage of the church. The Holy Spirit has done that. And we see this made explicit in Romans 12, 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Let us use them. Let us employ them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Now, you might say, hey, I'm not gifted in word ministry, so that, I guess I'm excused. No, there's much more than word ministry here. There's giving, there's serving, there's coming to one another, there's gifts of mercy. I can see that clearly in our church. There are some people that have just, while we all should have mercy, many people have there's a number of people in our church that have like this extra dose of mercy. And they're just all the time finding out about what's going on in people's lives, what are their needs, the mercy they're ministering to them, how's their health, that kind of a thing. And so we're getting glimpses of how God gifts us here. You should be looking at these lists here in Romans 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12 and in 1 Peter. 1 Peter doesn't give many lists, gives a generalities there. But you should be looking at them and saying, now how has God gifted me? And if you're having a struggle with that, talk to Pastor Dan. Talk to your pastor and sit down and say, how has God gifted me? I really need to, I've been convicted by God that I need to invest my gifts in this church. How can I do that? What do you see in me, you see? And have others affirm that in your life. And so God expects us to fulfill our ministry with the gifts given us. He didn't just give us gifts so that to make some kind of profit off it. In fact, he didn't give it to us for that. That's not any kind of a reason or main reason why that we make a profit off it. We're not to make a profit or go out and use it for individual purposes, but for the sake of the church. God calls us to fulfill our ministry with the gifts given to us, just as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:5. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Do you see that? Fulfill your ministry. He says the same of Mark. He says he is useful to me for ministry. He says the same of Archippus. He says tell him that he fulfills the ministry that he has received in the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, we need to fulfill our ministry. How are you doing with that? How are you doing with that? Have you devoted yourself to the ministry God has given you, the ministry in your local church? Have you devoted yourself to the ministry of Christian Testimony Church, and are you fulfilling it? You need to, because God expects you to, and Christ has saved you to do it, to fulfill it. And so verse 15 emphasizes that the maturity Christ is nourishing the church toward is a comprehensive and complete maturity, growing up in respect to Christ in every way, in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of Christ and in love. And once more, the focus is on the whole body, not simply individuals. And Paul says in verse 14 that we may grow up, and in verse 16 speaks of the whole body. It is the maturity of the church that obedient saints have prayed and expended themselves for here. And as in Colossians 1:28-29, where Paul tells us that he toiled, that is, he exerted and expended himself, struggling with all the church's energy to do what? To present everyone, all the saints, what? Mature in Christ. And if we think that is something only apostles do, we need to consider Epaphras. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Do you see their concern? Do you see what they labor and struggle and pray for? It is the maturity of the church. Why is that so important? Because it is only when we are maturing that we know and can do the will of God. And that doing of God's will glorifies God. And yet often it is not the case. Our focus must be on the common good of the church, on the upbuilding of the whole body, for that's what glorifies God. That's what we have been equipped for. That's why we are to be actively doing the work of ministry. John Calvin, in closing, captures the same spirit when he said, that man is mistaken who desires his own separate growth. For what would it profit a leg or an arm if it grew to an enormous size? Or for the mouth to be stretched wider? It would merely be afflicted with a harmful tumor. So if we wish to be considered in Christ, let no man be anything for himself. But let us be whatever we are for others. This is accomplished by love, and where love does not reign, there is no edification of the church, but a mere scattering. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, you are the God of peace. And so we pray that you, O Father, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip us with everything good that we may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in your sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.